Do the best you can. Regard problems as the result of the brain damage, not as something you caused or something the person who has dementia intended. Affection, reassurance, and calm are best, even when things make no sense. Caregiving. Some general suggestions. Be informed. The more you know about the nature of the diseases that cause dementia, the more effective you'll be in devising strategies to manage behavioral symptoms. The behavioral symptoms you have to cope with will vary with the specific disease the person has, which is one reason it's important to have an accurate diagnosis. Share your concerns with the person who has dementia. When a person is only mildly to moderately impaired, he can take part in managing his problem. You may be able to share with each other your grief and worries. Together, you may be able to devise memory aids that will help him remain independent. People whose impairments are mild may benefit from counseling that can help them accept and adjust to their limitations. If the person doesn't recognize the problem, accept his point of view. Arguing with him will not help. Try to solve your most frustrating problems one at a time. Families tell us that the day-to-day problems often seem to be the most insurmountable. Getting mother to take her bath or getting supper prepared, eaten, and cleaned up can become daily ordeals. If you are at the end of your rope, single out one thing that you can change to make life easier and work on that. Sometimes changing small things makes a big difference. Get enough rest. One of the dilemmas many families face is that caregivers may not get enough rest or may not have the opportunity to get away from their caregiving responsibilities. This can make caregivers less patient and less able to tolerate irritating behavioral symptoms. If things are getting out of hand, ask yourself if this is happening to you. If so, you may want to focus on finding ways to get more rest or more frequent breaks from your caregiving responsibilities. We recognize that this is difficult to arrange. We discuss it in Chapter 10. Use your common sense and imagination. They are your best tools. Adaptation is the key to success. If a thing cannot be done in a certain way, ask yourself if it must be done that way. For example, if a person can eat successfully with his fingers but cannot appropriately use a fork and spoon, don't fight the problem. Serve as many finger foods as possible. Accept changes. If the person insists on sleeping with his hat on, this is not harmful. Go along with it. Cognitive losses are uneven. Accept what does not seem logical. Maintain a sense of humor. It will get you through many crises. The person who has dementia is still a person. He needs and enjoys a good laugh, too. You may both be able to laugh when something goes wrong. Sharing your experiences with other families will help you. Surprisingly, these groups of families often find their shared experiences funny as well as sad. Try to establish an environment that allows as much freedom as possible, but also offers the structure that people who have dementia need. Establish a regular, predictable, simple routine for meals, medication, exercising, bedtime, and other activities. Do things the same way and at the same time each day. If you establish regular routines, the person may gradually learn what to expect. Change routines only when they aren't working. Keep the person's surroundings reliable and simple. Leave furniture in the same place. Put away clutter. Remember to talk to the person directly. Speak calmly and gently. Make a point of telling him what you're doing and why. Let him have a part in deciding things as much as possible. Avoid talking about him when he is nearby, and remind others to avoid this also. Have an ID necklace or bracelet made for the person who has dementia, and consider a wearable tracking device. Include on it the nature of his disease, for example, memory impaired, and your telephone number. This is one of the single most important things you can do. Many people who have dementia get lost or wander away at one time or another, and an ID and wearable tracking device can save you hours of frantic worry. Stores and websites that sell monogrammed items may make these, or your drugstore may sell them. Your local chapter of the Alzheimer's Association can tell you where to purchase an ID necklace or bracelet. Telephones and GPS devices that can help you find a lost person are also available from phone providers and other companies. Keep the person active but not upset. Families often ask if retraining, reality orientation, or keeping active will slow or stop the course of the disease. They may ask if being idle hastens the course of the disease. Some people who have dementia become depressed, listless, or apathetic. Families often wonder whether encouraging such a person to do things will help him to function better. Activity helps to maintain physical well-being and may help prevent other illnesses and infections. Being active helps the impaired person continue to feel that he is involved in the family and that his life has meaning. It's clear that people who have illnesses that cause dementia cannot learn as well as before because brain tissue has been damaged or destroyed. It would be unrealistic to expect them to learn new, complex skills. However, some individuals can learn simple tasks or facts if they are repeated often enough. Many people who feel lost in a new place eventually learn their way around. At the same time, too much stimulation, activity, or pressure to learn may upset the person who has dementia, may upset you, and may accomplish nothing. The key to this is balance. 1. Accept that lost skills are gone for good. The person who has lost the ability to cook will not learn to fix a meal. But know that repeatedly and gently giving information that is within the person's abilities will help him function more comfortably. The person going into a strange daycare setting will benefit from frequent reminders of where he is. 2. Know that even small amounts of excitement, visitors, laughter, changes, can upset the person who has dementia, but plan interesting, stimulating things within his capabilities. A walk, visiting one old friend. 3. Look for ways to simplify activities so that a person can continue to be involved within the limits of his abilities. The person who can no longer fix a whole meal may still be able to peel the potatoes. 4. Look for things the person is still able to do and focus on them. A person's intellectual abilities are not all lost at once. Both of you will benefit from carefully assessing what he can still do and making the best use of those abilities. For example, Mrs. Baldwin often cannot remember the words for things she wants to say, but she can make her meaning clear with gestures. Her daughter helps her by saying, "Point to what you want." 5. Consider having a trained person come to the house to visit the person who has dementia, or trying a group program such as daycare designed for people who have dementia, mentioned in Chapter 10. Daycare often offers the right level of stimulation for some people and gives you time off as well. 6. Give priority to keeping the person who has dementia calm and comfortable. Chapter 17 discusses some of the things you may have heard will prevent or delay the progress of an illness that causes dementia. While you may want to try some of these suggestions, such as memory-enhancing games, keep in mind that if an activity or program upsets the person, you should stop using it. Memory problems. People who have dementia forget things quickly. For the person with memory impairment, life may be like constantly coming into the middle of a movie. One has no idea what happened just before what is happening now. People with illnesses that cause dementia may forget what you just told them, may start to prepare a meal and then forget to turn the stove off, and/or may forget what time it is or where they are. This forgetfulness of recent events can seem puzzling when the person seems to be able to clearly remember events long past. There are some specific suggestions for memory aids throughout this book. You may think of others that will help you. Forgetful people may remember events long past more clearly than recent events, or they may remember some things and not others. This has to do with the way the brain stores and receives information. It is not something the person does deliberately. The success of memory aids depends on the severity of the dementia. A person who has mild dementia may devise reminders for himself, while a person who has more severe dementia will only become more frustrated by his inability to use the aid. Written notes and reminders may help people who have mild dementia. It's often helpful to post a simple list of the day's activities on a piece of paper or a whiteboard where the person can easily see it. A regular daily routine is much less confusing than frequent changes. Leave familiar objects, pictures, magazines, television, radio, in their usual places where the person can see them easily. A tidy, uncluttered house will be less confusing to an impaired person, and misplaced items will be easier to find. Putting labels on things occasionally helps. Labeling drawers, Mary's socks, Mary's nightgowns may help. Remember, however, that with an illness that causes a progressive dementia, the person will eventually be unable to read or will not be able to make sense of what he reads. He may be able to read the words but be unable to act on them. Some families then use pictures instead of written messages. As the disease progresses, the person will be unable to remember what you tell him, even for a minute. You'll need to repeat yourself and remind and reassure him over and over. Overreacting or catastrophic reactions. Even though Miss Ramirez had told her sister over and over that today was the day to visit the doctor, her sister would not get into the car until she was dragged in, screaming, by two neighbors. All the way to the doctor's office, she shouted for help, and when she got there, she tried to run away. Mr. Lewis suddenly burst into tears as he tried to tie his shoelaces. He threw the shoes in the wastebasket and locked himself, sobbing, in the bathroom. Mrs. Coleman described several incidents similar to this one in which her husband had mislaid his glasses. "You threw out my glasses," he told her. "I didn't touch your glasses," she answered. "That's what you always say," he responded. "How do you explain that they are gone?"
"You do this to me every time you lose your glasses."
"I did not lose them. You threw them out."
Reflecting back, Mrs. Coleman knew that her husband had changed. In the past, he would have merely asked her if she knew where his glasses were, instead of accusing her and starting an argument. People with brain diseases often become excessively upset and experience rapidly changing moods. Strange situations, confusion, groups of people, noises, being asked several questions at once, or being asked to do a task that is difficult for them can precipitate these reactions. The person may weep, blush, or become agitated, angry, or stubborn. He may strike out at those trying to help him. He may cover his distress by denying what he's doing or by accusing other people of things. Emotional overreaction is common when a situation overwhelms the limited thinking capacity of a person who has dementia. Normal people sometimes do this when they are bombarded with more things at one time than they can manage. People who have dementia have the same reaction to simpler, everyday experiences. For example, every evening, Mrs. Hamilton gets upset and refuses to take a bath. When her daughter insists, she argues and shouts. This makes the rest of the family tense. The whole routine is dreaded by everyone. Taking a bath means that Mrs. Hamilton must think about several things at once: undressing, unbuttoning, finding the bathroom, turning on faucets, and climbing in the tub. At the same time, she feels insecure without clothes on, and she feels she has lost her privacy and independence. This is overwhelming for a person who can't remember doing the task before, who can't remember how to do all these tasks, and whose mind cannot process all these activities at once. One way to react is to refuse to take a bath. We use the term catastrophic reaction to describe this behavior. The word catastrophic is used in a special sense. It does not mean that these situations are necessarily very dramatic or violent, only that the person acts as if a catastrophe has happened. Often a catastrophic reaction does not look like behavior caused by an illness that causes dementia. The behavior may look as if the person is merely being obstinate, critical, or over-emotional. It may seem inappropriate to get so upset over such a little thing. Catastrophic reactions are upsetting and exhausting for you and for the person who has dementia. They're especially upsetting when it seems as if the person you're trying to help is being stubborn or critical. The person may get so upset that he refuses necessary care. Learning how to avoid or lessen catastrophic reactions is a major key to easier management of them. Sometimes catastrophic reactions and forgetfulness are the first behaviors family members see when they begin to realize that something's wrong. The person with a mild impairment may benefit by being reassured that his panic is not unusual and that you understand his fear. The things that can help prevent or reduce catastrophic reactions depend on you, on the individual who has dementia, and on the extent of his limitations. You'll gradually learn how to avoid or limit these reactions. First, you must fully accept that these behaviors are not just stubbornness or nastiness, but a response that the person who has dementia cannot help. The person is not just denying reality or trying to manipulate you. Though it may seem strange, you may have more control over the person's reaction than he does. The best way to manage catastrophic reactions is to stop them before they happen. The things that trigger these outbursts vary from one person to another and from one time to another, but as you learn what upsets your family member, you'll be able to reduce the number and frequency of outbursts. Some of the common causes of catastrophic reactions are needing to think about several things at once, for example, all the tasks involved in taking a bath. Trying to do something that the person can no longer manage. Being cared for by someone who is rushed or upset. Not wanting to appear inadequate or unable to do things. For example, if the doctor asks a lot of questions that the person cannot answer. Being hurried when he thinks and moves more slowly than he used to. Not understanding what he was asked to do. Not understanding what he saw or heard. Being tired. None of us are at our best when we're tired. Not feeling well. Not being able to make himself understood. Feeling frustrated. Being treated like a child. Feeling sick and not knowing why. Anything that helps remind the person who has dementia about what is going on, such as following familiar routines, leaving things in familiar places, and having written instructions for people who can manage them, can help to reduce catastrophic reactions. Because catastrophic reactions are precipitated by having to think of several things at once, simplify what the person has to think about. Take things one step at a time and give instructions or information step by step. For example, when you help a person bathe, tell the person one thing at a time. Say, I'm going to unbutton your shirt, and then reassure him, it's all right. Say, now I'm going to slip your shirt off. That's fine. Now take a step up into the tub. I will hold your arm. Give the person who has dementia time to respond. He may react slowly and become upset if you rush him. Wait for him. If a person is having frequent catastrophic reactions, try to reduce the confusion around him. This might mean having fewer people in the room, having less noise, turning off the television, or reducing the clutter in the room. The key is to simplify, to reduce the number of signals the impaired, disoriented brain must sort out. Find things the person who has dementia can realistically do. If strange places upset him, you may not want to take him on a trip. If he gets tired or upset quickly, plan shorter visits with friends. Plan demanding tasks for the person's best time of day. Avoid asking him to do things when he's tired. Know what his limits are, and try not to push him beyond them. Mr. Lewis's family recognized that tying shoelaces had become too difficult for him, but that he needed to remain as independent as possible. Buying him slip-on shoes solved the problem. Mrs. Coleman's husband often lost things because he forgot where he put them. She found it helpful to ignore his accusations and help him find his glasses. Knowing that accusing her was his way of reacting to his forgetfulness made it easier for her to accept the insult. Do the parts of a task that the person finds difficult yourself. Families often worry that they're doing too much for a person and might make him more dependent. A good rule is to let a person do for himself until he shows the first signs of frustration, then assist him before he becomes more upset. Urging him on will usually only upset him more. If a person seems more irritable than usual, check carefully for signs of illness or pain. Even minor illness or discomfort can make the person's thinking worse. Reactions to medication sometimes cause these outbursts. Have the person's medications been changed in the past 3 weeks? Reconsider your approach. Are you unintentionally rushing him? Did you misunderstand him? Did you ignore his protests? Are your behavior and voice communicating your own frustration to him? Although it's easy to treat a person who is so dependent like a child, this may make him angry and precipitate an outburst. Often, many small stressors build up for the person who has dementia, just trying to make sense of things, being tired, noise from the television, a delay in having lunch, feeling rushed. All may add up so that when you suggest a bath, the person is already so stressed that he blows up. The person may be so stressed that he's on the edge of an outburst much of the time. Reducing his overall stress level may make a necessary task like bathing easier. When you're interacting with the person, watch for signs of increasing stress, such as irritability, stubbornness, flushing, and refusing to do things. Stop what you're doing and let the person calm down. When the person does become upset or resistant, remain calm and remove him from the situation in a quiet, unhurried way. Often, the emotional storm will be over as quickly as it began, and the person will be relieved that the upset is over. His short memory may work to your advantage. He may quickly forget the trouble. As a person who has dementia becomes upset, his ability to think and reason temporarily declines even more. It's useless to argue with him, explain things to him, or even ask him to complete a task when he's in the grip of a catastrophic reaction. Arguing, explaining, or restraining him may make things worse. Help him calm down and relax so that he can think as well as possible. Take him away from what upset him, if possible. You may lose your temper with a person who is having catastrophic reactions or is unable to do what seems like a simple task. This usually will make the person's behavior worse. Losing your temper occasionally is not a calamity. Take a deep breath and try to approach the problem calmly. The person will probably forget your anger much more quickly than you will. Try not to express your frustration or anger to the person who has dementia. Your frustration will further upset him when he can't understand your reaction. Speak calmly. Take things one step at a time. Move slowly and quietly. Remember that the person is not being obstinate or doing this intentionally. Gently holding a person's hand or patting him may help calm him, but the person may feel that you are restraining him and become more upset. Physically restraining a person often adds to his panic. Restrain a person only if it is absolutely essential and if nothing else works. If catastrophic reactions are happening often, keeping a log may help you identify their cause. After the outburst is over, write down what happened, when it happened, who was around, and what happened just before the outburst. Look for a pattern. Are there events, times, or people that might be triggering upsets? If so, can you avoid them? These overreactions are distressing to the person who has dementia as well as to you. After he has calmed down, reassure him. Tell him that you recognize his distress and that you still care for him. If you find that catastrophic reactions are occurring frequently and that you're responding with anger and frustration, this is a warning that you are overtired and overwhelmed. You're caught in a vicious circle that is bad for both you and the person who has dementia. You must have time away from the person. Listen to Chapter 10, Getting Outside Help, and make the effort to take some time off for yourself, even if you feel too tired and overwhelmed to do so. You may feel that none of these suggestions will work, that you're caught in an endless battle. The suggestions we offer may not work, but if you're feeling that nothing will help you, this may be an indication of your own depression. In fact, things can be found that will reduce catastrophic reactions in most people who have dementia. Identifying triggers and reducing stressors can be challenging. Brainstorming with other family members in a support group is particularly helpful. Combativeness. Mrs. Frank was having her hair done. The beautician was working on the back of her head, and Mrs. Frank kept trying to turn around. When this happened, the beautician would turn Mrs. Frank's head back. Then Mrs. Frank began batting at the beautician's hands. She looked as if she were about to cry. Finally, Mrs. Frank turned around in the chair and hit the beautician. Mr. Williams stood close to a group of nurses who were talking. He bounced up and down on his toes. The nurses ignored him, even though he bounced faster and faster. When he began to shout, one of the nurses took his arm to lead him away. He pulled away from her, but she held on. When she didn't let go, he struck her. When an individual who has dementia hits or bites, pinches, or kicks another person, it's upsetting for everyone. Sometimes this happens frequently, and the family caregiver or nursing home staff may feel they can't continue to provide care. Combativeness is almost always an extreme catastrophic reaction. It often can be prevented by being alert to the person's signals that his stress level is rising. Perhaps if the beautician had continually talked to Mrs. Frank about what she was doing and showed her in a mirror how her hair was coming, Mrs. Frank would have understood what was going on and would have been less upset. Turning and batting at the hairdresser were warnings that she was becoming distressed. Perhaps Mr. Williams wanted to join the conversation. If the nurses kept a log of his outbursts, they might observe that bouncing on his toes was a sign of his rising agitation. If the nurses had included him in their conversation or suggested something else he might enjoy doing, he might not have gotten upset. Physically holding or pulling someone is often perceived by the person as an attack and leads to an angry response. When a person becomes agitated, immediately stop whatever is upsetting him and let him relax. Do not continue to push him. Listen again to the material on catastrophic reactions in this section and in other books. Look for ideas for preventing outbursts or stopping them when they first begin. As a last resort, small amounts of medication may be necessary to help people who are upset much of the time stay calm. However, medication is not a substitute for changing the things going on around the person or altering how caregivers respond to him. Refer to medications in Chapter 6. Problems with speech and communication. You may have problems understanding or communicating verbally with the person who has dementia. There are two kinds of problems of communication: the problems a person who has dementia has in expressing himself to others, and the problems he has in understanding what people say to him. He may understand more than he can express, or may express more than he can understand. Do not make assumptions about what he understands. Problems the person who has dementia experiences in making himself understood. The nature of communication problems and whether or not they will get worse depend on the specific disease. Do not assume that things will get worse. Some people have only occasional difficulty finding words. They may have trouble remembering the names of familiar objects or people. They may substitute a word that sounds similar, such as saying tea for tie or wrong for ring. They may substitute a word with a related meaning, such as saying wedding for ring or music thing for piano. They may describe the object they cannot name, such as it's a thing that goes around for ring, or it's to dress up for necktie. Such problems usually don't interfere with your ability to understand what the person means. Some people have difficulty communicating their thoughts. Mr. Zuckerman was trying to say that he had never had a neurological examination before. He said, "I really have not really, ever have been done. I have never." With some language problems, the person cannot communicate the whole thought, but he can express a few of the words in the thought. Mr. Mason wanted to say that he was worried about missing his ride home. He could say only, "bus, home." Sometimes people are able to ramble on quite fluently, and it seems as if they're talking a lot. They will often string together commonly used phrases, so what they say at first seems to make sense, but on reflection, the listener may not be sure he understood the thought being expressed. Mrs. Simmons said, "If I tell you something, I might stop in the middle and I'll be real sure about what I've done, said. Sometimes I stop right in the middle and I can't get on with from that. In past records, I can be so much more sure of the. After I get my bearing again, I can just go on as if nothing happened. We thought it was high time to start remembering. I just love to have to talk." In these examples, it's possible to understand what the person is saying if we know the context. When the limitations in ability to communicate frustrate the person and frustrate you, they can lead to repeated catastrophic reactions. For example, the impaired person may burst into tears or stomp out of the room when no one understands him. Sometimes a person is able to conceal language problems. When a doctor asks a person if he knows the word for a wristwatch, a common question used to evaluate language problems, the person may say, "Of course I do. Why do you ask?" Or, "I don't want to talk about it. Why are you bothering me?" when he cannot think of the word. Some people begin to use curse words, even if they have never used such language before. This disturbing behavior appears to be a strange quirk of diseases that take away important language skills. It's commonly seen after a stroke that affects the language area of the brain. It must be like opening a mental dictionary to say something and having only curse words come out. One person who was asked why he cursed the daycare staff said, "These are the only words I have." This behavior is rarely deliberate and sometimes upsets the person who curses as much as it does you. With severe language problems, the person may remember only a few key words such as "no," which he may use whether or not he means it. Eventually, the person may be unable to speak. He may repeat a phrase, cry out intermittently, or mumble unintelligible phrases. In some language problems, there seems to be no meaning in the jumbled words the person produces. Family members and caregivers often grieve when this happens, and they can no longer communicate verbally with a loved one. We sense that language is the most human of mental skills. In some families, the person continues to be a friend and companion, although a forgetful one, for a long time. But when he's unable to communicate anymore, the family feels they have lost that companionship. You may worry that the person will be sick or in pain and unable to tell you. How you help the person communicate depends on the kind of difficulty he's having. If he's been diagnosed as having had a stroke that interferes with language function, he should be seen by a stroke rehabilitation team as soon as possible after the stroke is diagnosed. Much can be done to rehabilitate people who have had strokes. If the person is having difficulty finding the right word, it is usually less frustrating for him to have you supply the word for him than it is to let him search and struggle for the word. When he uses the wrong word and you know what he means, it may be helpful to supply the correct word. However, if doing so upsets him, it's better to ignore it. When you don't know what he means, ask him to describe it or point to it. For example, the nurse didn't know what Mrs. Keeley meant when she said, "I like your wrong." If the nurse had said, "What?" Mrs. Keeley might have become frustrated in trying to express herself. Instead, the nurse asked, "Describe a wrong." Mrs. Keeley said, "It's a thing that goes around." "Point to it," said the nurse. Mrs. Keeley did, and the nurse responded, "Oh, yes, my ring." If the person gets lost in the middle of what he's saying, repeat his first few words. This may help him get started again. When a person is having trouble expressing an idea, you may be able to guess what he's trying to say. Ask him if you are guessing correctly. You might guess wrong, and if you act on an erroneous guess, you will add to the person's frustration. Say, "Are you worried about catching the bus home?" Or, "Are you saying you have never had an examination like this before?" People who have dementia communicate better when they're relaxed. Try to appear relaxed yourself, even if you have to pretend, and create a calm environment. Never rush the person who's trying to make himself understood. When you can't communicate in other ways, you can often guess what a person is trying to tell you. Remember that his feeling is usually accurate, although it may be exaggerated or not appropriate to the situation, but his explanation of why he feels a certain way may be confused. If Mr. Mason says, "Bus, home," and you say, "You aren't going on the bus," you won't have responded to his feelings. If you correctly guess that he's worried about going home, you can reassure him by saying, "Your daughter is coming for you at 3 o'clock." If a person can still say a few words or shake and nod his head, you'll need to ask him simplified questions about his needs. Say, "Do you hurt?" or "Does this hurt?" Point to a body part rather than name it. When a person can't communicate, you must establish a regular routine of checking his comfort. Make sure that clothing is comfortable, that the room is warm, that there are no rashes or sores on his skin, that he is taken to the toilet on a regular schedule, and that he's not hungry or sleepy. When a person repeats the same thing over and over, try distracting him. Change the subject. Ask him to sing a familiar song or talk about the feelings behind the statement. For example, if the person is searching for his mother, try saying, "You must miss your mother," or "Tell me what your mother was like." Problems the person who has dementia experiences in understanding others. Often, people who have dementia have difficulty comprehending what you and others tell them. This is a problem that families sometimes misinterpret as uncooperative behavior. For example, you may say, "Mother, I'm going to the grocery store. I will be back in half an hour. Do you understand?" Your mother may say, "Oh, yes, I understand," when in fact she does not understand at all and will get upset as soon as you're out of sight. People who have dementia also quickly forget what they did understand. When you give them a careful explanation, they may forget the first part of the explanation before you get to the rest of it. People who have dementia can have trouble understanding written information, even when they can still read the letters or words. For example, to determine exactly what a person can still comprehend, we may hand him a newspaper and have him read the headline, which he may be able to do correctly. Then, when we hand him the written instructions, "Close your eyes," he does not close his eyes, although he correctly reads the words aloud. This indicates that he can't understand what he's reading. Jan told her mother that lunch was in the refrigerator. She left a note on the refrigerator door to remind her mother. Her mother could read the note aloud, but could not understand what it said, so she didn't eat her lunch. Instead, she complained that she was hungry. This can be infuriating until you consider that reading and understanding are two different skills, one of which may be lost without the loss of the other. It's not safe to assume that a person can understand and act on messages he can hear or read. You'll need to observe him to know whether he does act on them. If he does not act on instructions, assume he has a problem in understanding language. The person who can understand what he's told in person may not be able to comprehend what he is told over the telephone. When a person who has dementia does not understand what you told him, the problem is not inattentiveness or willfulness, but an inability of the malfunctioning brain to make sense of the words it receives. There are several ways to improve your verbal communication with a person who has dementia. 1. Make sure he does hear you. Hearing acuity declines in later life, and many older people have a hearing deficit. 2. Lower the tone or pitch of your voice. A raised pitch is a nonverbal signal that one is upset. A lower pitch also is easier for a hearing-impaired person to hear. 3. Eliminate distracting noises or activities. Both because of a possible hearing deficit and because of the person's inability to tune extraneous things out, he may be unable to understand you when there are other noises or distractions around him. Use short words and short, simple sentences. Avoid complex sentences. Instead of saying, "I think I'll take the car to the garage tonight instead of in the morning because in the morning I will get caught in traffic," just say, "I'm taking the car to the garage now." 5. Ask only one simple question at a time. Avoid questions like, "Do you want an apple or pie for dessert?" or "Do you want to have dessert later?" Complex choices may overload the person's decision-making ability. 6. Ask the person to do one task at a time, not several. He may not be able to remember several tasks, or may be unable to make sense of your request. Most of the things we ask a person to do, take a bath, get ready for bed, put on a coat so we can go to the store, involve several tasks. The person who has dementia may not be able to sort out these tasks. We help him by breaking down each project into individual steps and asking him to do one step at a time. 7. Speak slowly and wait for the person to respond. The impaired person's response may be much slower than what seems natural to us. Wait. You can also improve communication with the person and your understanding of his needs by using the nonverbal aspects of communication. We communicate through both what we say and the way we move our faces, eyes, hands, and bodies. Everyone uses this nonverbal system of communication without thinking about it. For example, we say, "He looks mad." You can tell by the way they look at each other that they are in love. You can tell by the way he walks who's boss. "I know you aren't listening to me," and so on. These are all things we are communicating without words. People who have dementia can remain sensitive to these nonverbal messages when they cannot understand language well, and they often remain able to express themselves nonverbally. For example, if you're tired, you may send nonverbal messages that upset the impaired person. Then he may get agitated, which will upset you. Your hands, face, and eyes will reveal your distress, which further agitates the person who has dementia. If you're unaware of the significance of body language, you may wonder what happened to upset him. In fact, we all do this all the time. For example, "No, I am not upset," you tell a spouse. "But I know you are," he replies. He could tell by the set of your shoulders that you're upset. If you're living with a person who has dementia, you've already learned to identify many of the nonverbal clues that he sends to make his needs known. Here are some additional ways to communicate nonverbally. 1. Remain pleasant, calm, and supportive. Even if you feel upset, your body language will help to keep the person calm. 2. Smile, take the person's hand, put an arm around his waist, or in some other physical way, express affection if you know this helps. 3. Look directly at him. Look to see if he's paying attention to you. If he uses body language to signal that he's not paying attention, try again in a few minutes. 4. Use other signals besides words. Point, touch, hand the person things. Demonstrate an action or describe it with your hands, for example, brushing teeth. Sometimes if you get him started, he'll be able to continue the task. 5. Avoid assuming complex reasons for the person's behavior. Because the person's brain can no longer process information properly, he experiences the world around and within differently from the way you see things. Because nonverbal communication depends on a whole different set of skills than verbal communication, you may be better able to understand him by considering what it feels like he's saying rather than what you think he is saying through either actions or words. Even when a person is unable to communicate, he still needs and enjoys affection. Holding hands, hugging, or just sitting companionably together is an important way to continue to communicate. The physical care that you give a person who has a severe dementia communicates to him your concern and that he is protected. Loss of coordination. Because illnesses that cause dementia affect many parts of the brain, the person who has dementia may lose the ability to make his hands and fingers do certain familiar tasks. He may understand what he wants to do, and although his hands and fingers are not stiff or weak, the message just does not get through from the mind to the fingers. Doctors often use the word apraxia to describe this failure of the brain to communicate with muscles. An early sign of apraxia is a change in a person's handwriting. Another later indication is a change in the way a person walks. Apraxias may progress gradually or change abruptly, depending on the disease. For example, at first a person may seem only slightly unsteady when walking, but he may gradually change to a slow, shuffling gait. It can be difficult for a person not trained to evaluate illnesses that cause dementia to separate problems of memory. Can the person remember what he's supposed to do? From problems of apraxia, can the person make his muscles do what they are supposed to do? Both problems occur when the brain is damaged by disease. It's not always necessary to distinguish between them in order to help the person manage as independently as possible. When apraxia begins to affect walking, the person may be slightly unsteady. You must watch for this and provide either a handrail or someone to hold on to when the person is using stairs and stepping up onto or down off of a curb. If you have the person hold on to you, be sure your own footing is secure. Losses of coordination and manual skills may lead to problems in daily living, such as bathing, managing buttons or zippers, dressing, pouring a glass of water, and eating. Using a telephone requires good coordination, and a person who doesn't appear to have any motor impairment may in fact be unable to use a telephone to call for help. Some of the things a person has difficulty with may have to be given up. Others can be modified so that the person who has dementia can remain partially independent. When you modify a task, the key is to simplify rather than change the task. Because of his intellectual impairment, the person who has dementia may be unable to learn even a simpler, new task. Consider the nature of each task. Ask yourself if it can be done in a simpler way. For example, shoes that slip on are easier to put on than shoes with laces. It's easier to drink soup out of a mug than to spoon it from a bowl. Finger foods are more easily managed than foods that must be cut with knife and fork. Can the person do part of the task if you do the difficult part? You may already have discovered that the person can dress himself if you help with buttons or snaps. A person may feel tense, embarrassed, or worried about his clumsiness. He may try to conceal his increasing disability by refusing to participate in activities. For example, Mrs. Fisher had always enjoyed knitting. When she abruptly gave up this hobby, her daughter couldn't understand what had happened. Mrs. Fisher said only that she no longer liked to knit. In fact, her increasing apraxia was making knitting impossible, and she was ashamed of her awkwardness. A relaxed atmosphere often helps make the person's clumsiness less apparent. It's not unusual for a person to have more difficulty with a task when he's feeling tense. Sometimes a person can do something one time and not another time. This may be a characteristic of the brain impairment, not laziness. Being hurried, being watched, being upset, or being tired can affect the person's ability to do things, just as it does for anyone. Having a brain disease makes these natural fluctuations more dramatic. Sometimes people can do one task with no problem, such as zipping up trousers, and be unable to do another similar task, such as zipping up a jacket. It may seem that the person is being difficult, but the reason may be that one task is impossible because it's different in some way. Sometimes a person can do a task if you break it down into a series of smaller tasks and take one step at a time. For example, brushing your teeth involves picking up the toothbrush, putting the toothpaste on it, putting the toothbrush in your mouth, brushing, rinsing, and so on. Gently remind the person of each step. It may help to demonstrate. You may have to repeat each step several times. Sometimes it helps to put a familiar tool, such as a spoon or a comb, into the person's hand and gently start his arm moving in the right direction. Beginning the motion seems to help the brain remember the task. An occupational therapist is trained to assess what motor skills the person has retained and how he may make the best use of them. If you obtain an occupational therapy evaluation, this information can help you give the person who has dementia the help he needs without taking away his independence. In the later stages of some of the diseases that cause dementia, extensive loss of muscle control occurs, and the person may bump into things and fall down. We discuss this in Chapter 5. People who have dementia may have other physical conditions that also interfere with their ability to do daily tasks. Part of the problem may be in the muscles or joints, and another part of the problem in the impaired brain. Such complicating conditions include tremors or shaking, muscle weakness, joint or bone diseases such as arthritis, and stiffness caused by medication or by Parkinson's disease. There are many techniques and devices to help people with physical limitations remain independent. When you consider such techniques or devices, remember that most of them require the ability to learn to do something a new way or to learn to use a new gadget. People who have dementia may not be able to learn the new skills needed. Some people have tremors. These are shaking movements of the hands or body. These can make many activities difficult for a person, but an occupational therapist or a physical therapist may be able to show you how to minimize the effects of tremors. Some people with neurological conditions, especially Parkinson's disease, have difficulty starting a movement or may get stuck in the middle of a movement. This can be frustrating for both of you. If this is a problem, here are some helpful hints. 1. If the person becomes glued to the floor while walking, tell him to walk toward a goal or to look at a spot or a line on the floor a few feet in front of him. This may help him get going again. 2. It may be easier to get out of a chair that has armrests. Also, try raising the sitting person's center of gravity by raising the chair seat 2 to 4 inches. A firm seat is needed. Use a firm pillow or a higher chair such as a dining room chair or a director's chair. Avoid low chairs with soft cushions. Instruct the person to move forward to the edge of the chair and spread his feet about 1 foot apart to give a wider base to stand on. Ask the person to put his hands on the armrests and then to rock back and forth to gain momentum. On the count of 3, have him get up quickly. Have him take time to gain his balance before he begins to walk. 3. Sitting down in a chair may be easier to do when the person puts his hands on the armrests, bends forward as far as possible, and sits down slowly. Muscle weakness or stiffness may occur when a person doesn't move around much. Remaining active is important for memory-impaired people. Occasionally, a person who is taking one of the major tranquilizers or neuroleptic drugs will become stiff and rigid, or may become restless. These may be side effects of the medication. They can be very uncomfortable. Notify your doctor. She can change the dosage or give another medication to overcome this effect. Arthritic joints can be painful to move. If the person resists or fights when you help him dress, consider that you may be hurting him when you move his limbs. A physical therapy consultation can help you with this problem. Loss of sense of time. A person who has dementia loses the uncanny ability normal individuals have for judging the passage of time. He may repeatedly ask you what time it is, feel that you have left him for hours when you're out of sight for only a few minutes, or want to leave a place as soon as he has arrived. It's not hard to understand this behavior when you consider that to know how much time has passed, one must be able to remember what one has done in the immediate past. The person who forgets quickly has no way to measure the passage of time. In addition to this defect of memory, it appears that diseases that cause dementia can affect the internal clock that keeps us on a reasonably regular schedule of sleeping, waking, and eating. It will be helpful to you to recognize that this behavior is not deliberate, although it can be irritating. It's the result of the loss of brain function. The ability to read a clock may be lost early in the course of the disease. Even when a person can look at the clock and say, it is 3:15, he may be unable to make sense of this information. Not being able to keep track of time can worry the forgetful person. Many of us throughout our lives are dependent on a regular time schedule. Not knowing the time can make a person worry that he'll be late, be forgotten, miss the bus, overstay his welcome, miss lunch, or miss his ride home. The person who has dementia may not know just what he's worried about, but a general feeling of anxiety may make him repeatedly ask you what time it is. And of course, as soon as you answer him, he'll forget the whole conversation and ask again. Sometimes a person feels that you have deserted him when you have been gone only briefly. This is because he has no sense of how long ago you left. Setting a timer or an old-fashioned hourglass or writing a note, "I am in the backyard gardening and will be in at 3 o'clock p.m. might help the person wait more patiently for your return. Be sure to select a cue, timer, note, that he can still comprehend. Perhaps you can think of other ways to reduce this behavior. For example, when Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins went to dinner at their son's house, Mr. Jenkins would almost immediately put his hat and coat on and insist that it was time to go home. When he could be persuaded to stay for the meal, he insisted on leaving immediately afterward. His son thought he was just being rude. Things went more smoothly when the family understood that this was because the unfamiliar house, the added confusion, and Mr. Jenkins's lost sense of time upset him. The family thought back over Mr. Jenkins's life and hit upon an old social habit that helped them. In earlier years, he had enjoyed watching the football game after Sunday dinner. Now his son turned on the television as soon as Mr. Jenkins finished eating. Because this was an old habit, Mr. Jenkins would stay for about an hour, giving his wife time to visit before he got restless for home. Symptoms that are better sometimes and worse at other times. Families often observe that the person can do something one time but not another time. In the morning, my mother does not need as much help as she does in the evening. My wife can use the bathroom alone at home, but she insists she needs help at our daughter's house. My husband does not get as angry and upset at daycare as he does at home. Is this because he is angry with me? Bill said a whole sentence yesterday, but today I can't understand a thing he says. Was he trying harder yesterday? Fluctuations in ability are common in people with diseases that cause dementia. Well, people also have fluctuations in ability, but they're less noticeable. People who have dementia have good days and bad days. Some are better in the morning, when they're rested, Some have more problems in less familiar settings. Some do better when they feel more relaxed. Some fluctuations have no explanation. Whatever the likely reason, such fluctuations are normal and do not signal a change in the course of the disease. People who have dementia are more vulnerable than others to minor changes in health, refer to Chapter 6. An abrupt change in the ability to do something or in the overall level of function may indicate a medication reaction or a new illness. If you suspect this kind of change, it's important to contact the person's physician. The brain damage itself accounts for some fluctuation. It's possible that damaged nerve cells that fail most of the time do work occasionally. It's also possible that less damaged or undamaged areas can intermittently take over and temporarily fix a defective system. Unrecognized changes in the environment can also lead to fluctuations in the person's ability to function. Carefully examining whether the environment has changed might identify things to change and make the person more comfortable. All of these causes for variation in ability are beyond the person's deliberate control. People who have dementia are usually trying as hard as they can. You can help them the most by learning which things in their environment bring out their best and which things cause more disability. Chapter 4. Problems in independent living. Mild cognitive impairment. Because most diseases that cause dementia start imperceptibly and progress gradually, and because early identification will be important when effective treatments are available, researchers have increasingly focused on identifying dementia at its very beginnings. This has proved to be a challenging task because in Alzheimer's disease, the brain changes begin 10 to 20 years before recognizable symptoms can be identified, and the subtle changes that occur with normal aging are similar to the beginning symptoms of dementia. These challenges are being intensively studied, and earlier detection, even detection at the very beginnings of the brain changes, might be possible in the future. The difficulty of the task at present is illustrated by the lack of consensus on how to define the earliest symptoms. Doctors use the term mild cognitive impairment, or MCI, to identify people who have the earliest detectable symptoms. The most common identifying symptom is a complaint of memory difficulties. But some people with MCI have normal memory, but impairments in some other aspect of their thinking. 10 to 12% of individuals with MCI develop dementia in each subsequent year for at least 5 years. When a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment has been made, the uncertainty of the future is a challenge, since as many as 25% of people who receive this diagnosis in research studies return to normal within a year. For this reason, we suggest that people with MCI stay as active and busy as possible and focus on activities they can enjoy. Follow up with the doctor or clinic that made the diagnosis is essential to determine whether the symptoms have progressed, stayed the same, or improved. Once a person has received this diagnosis, make sure she has a will and an advance directive, a legal statement of who may provide care and what kind of care the person wants. Try to have her discuss her preferences for future care in case the symptoms progress. Most individuals with MCI are aware of their difficulties. Many find it beneficial to express their frustrations, but continued focus on their memory problems can make it even harder for them to remember. Encouraging the use of a memory pad, as well as avoiding situations in which pressure to remember is high, can help the person function better. The person may try using to-do lists or making a list of reminder notes. Keeping the person's living area neat helps to avoid losing things. Routines help some people. The Alzheimer's Association offers support groups for people with MCI and also provides social networking site chat rooms for people with MCI who use the internet. Make sure that medical problems are treated as well as possible and that medications that can impair memory are eliminated or minimized. You can reduce the risk of forgetting medications or taking a dose twice by keeping medications in a pill container that has a compartment for each day of the week. Depression or anxiety, if they occur, should be treated. The key to living with a mild cognitive impairment is the same as living with any of the other health problems of later life. Do not panic, because for many people the condition will not worsen. Continue to enjoy life. Managing the early stages of dementia. As a person begins to develop a disease that causes dementia, she may begin to have difficulty managing independently. Surprisingly, 20% of people who have dementia are living alone. You may suspect that the person is mismanaging her money, worry that she shouldn't be driving, or wonder if she should be living alone. People who have dementia often appear to be managing well, and they may insist that they're fine and that you're interfering. It can be difficult to know when you should take over and how much you should take over. It can also be painful to take away these outward symbols of a person's independence, especially if the person adamantly refuses to move, to stop driving, or to relinquish her financial responsibilities. One reason these changes are so difficult is that they reflect a loss of independence and responsibility. This is often upsetting, not only to the person with early symptoms, but also to family members and friends. We discuss these role changes in Chapter 11. Making necessary changes may become easier when people understand the feelings involved. The first step in deciding whether the time has come to make changes in a person's independence is to get an evaluation. This will tell you what the person is still able to do and what she is no longer able to do. It can also give you the authority to insist on necessary changes. When a professional evaluation is not available, you and your family must analyze each task as thoroughly and objectively as possible and decide whether the person can still do specific tasks completely, safely, and without becoming upset. The illnesses that cause dementia bring about many kinds of losses. Among them are losses of control over one's daily activities, of independence, of skills, and of the ability to do those things that make one feel useful or important. The diseases that cause dementia limit the possibilities the future can hold. While others can look forward to things getting better, the person who is developing dementia must gradually realize that her future is limited. Perhaps the most terrible loss of all is the loss of memory. Losing one's memories means losing one's day-to-day connections with others and with one's past. The distant past may seem like the present. Without a memory of today or an understanding that the past is past, the future ceases to have meaning. As losses accumulate in a person's life, it's natural for her to cling even more tightly to the things that remain.